Today, we're going to look at the subject of providence as taken from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11. This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah's prophecy, and there I'd like to read from the 46th chapter, verses 8 through 11. This morning, I want us to focus our thoughts on the providence of God. The providence of God is an outgrowth of His sovereignty, the fact that He is absolutely sovereign over everything that He has created. That is, He exercises power and governance over what He has created. Now, when it comes to God, or more specifically, our perspective of God, who we understand God is, especially from a biblical perspective, goes a long way in determining the kind of life that we will live. In other words, if our view of God is incomplete or defective, then that's going to have a bearing upon how we live, or to the degree of faithfulness that we live to the teachings of Scripture. The more biblical our understanding of who God is, will generally have a greater impact upon how we live when it comes to faithfulness, when it comes to obedience, and when it comes to the nature of our obedience. Now, what most people fail to understand is that often our perceptions of God tends to be unbalanced. We tend to emphasize certain features of God that we find most appealing or most attractive for whatever reason. And we have a tendency to exclude other features of God's character. And when we do that, we have a distorted understanding of just who God is, as He has revealed Himself in Scripture. We need a balanced understanding. We need a balanced approach when we come to the love, mercy, and compassion of God, as well as when we come to those passages that deal with the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, His righteousness, and His justice. These differing kinds of attributes are not set against each other, but they present a full-orbed perspective of who the God of Scripture really is. And in order for us to grow in our knowledge of God, as well as in our obedience to God, we need to have this rich understanding that He presents about Himself in His Word. Now, one of those features that has to do with the sovereignty or the power of God is His providence. Now, providence is a term that perhaps we are familiar with, but yet not quite as familiar as with the concept that it portrays in Scripture. Providence can only happen because God is creator and because God is sovereign over His creation. Now, these ideas come out in this passage by Isaiah. I want you to listen very carefully what is presented here. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11, we have these words. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, which is a reference to Cyrus, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Now, in this section of Scripture, the sovereignty of God is presented in crystal clear terms. But the nature of that sovereignty, or God exercising His rule, has to do more technically with what is called the providence of God. Now, question 11 from the Baptist Catechism asks, what is providence? And the answer that it gives is that God's providence is His completely holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing of every creature and every action. Now, this question of providence rises out of the consideration that we might have for the eternal purposes or the decrees of God. Now, this simply refers to that plan that God has made based upon His own will before the foundation of the world of everything that He intends to bring into reality. God's plan is like a blueprint. The blueprint is not the same thing as the superstructure. They are different. But the difference has to do with the idea of planning or purpose and bringing that to reality by actually building the object of the blueprint. Now, before God created anything, He had a plan. Those things that He determined to bring to pass, to bring into reality. Now, one of the catechism questions has to do with how does God actually carry out His eternal purposes? And the answer that it gives is that He carries out His eternal purposes in creation and providence. In other words, it's one thing to have a plan. How was that plan worked out or brought to pass? Well, first of all, it has to be worked out through an actual creation. You see, prior creation, the only thing that existed was God. So in order to bring all of these things to pass, there needed to be a created order. And so God begins with creation. Now, the second part has to do with providence. And providence has to do with God preserving and governing what He has created. God is not only the divine creator, but He also governs or rules what He has created. Now, the term providence comes from two words. There is a prefix pro, which means beforehand, and a root term video, which means to see. So quite literally, it means to see beforehand, to watch. Now, the idea is not simply to see what happens in the future. This is a term that has causality relating to it, in the sense that there is action or cause as to things that happen. For example, if you call someone to watch your children, now obviously you mean more than just for someone to come in and to visually stare at your children while you're gone. When you ask them to watch them, you're implying not only to see them, but also to provide for their needs, to take care of them, and perhaps even to discipline them if they misbehave. So it's not just simply to see visually, but it's to see the need that they might have and provide for it. Now, at this time, I want to read a statement to you. One writer says that there is nothing more assuring for a believer than to know that all of life is under the loving care and direction of an all-powerful God. Now, let me ask you, do you believe this? Do you honestly believe what the writer has said here? Let's go back and look at this very carefully. The writer says that there is nothing more assuring. So here, providence is a very assuring thing. It has a calming effect. It brings comfort. And so we ask, does this bring comfort to you? Is it calming to know that God is in control of all things? The writer indicates that providence is assuring to believers. There is nothing more assuring for a believer. When it comes to unbelievers, obviously they don't care about the providence of God. They reject the whole concept of God, or at least the God of Scripture. And so the idea of God being in control is not really a comforting thing. Rather, it's more of a threat to what they consider to be their own personal freedoms and responsibilities. Now, according to this statement, providence is something to be embraced. There is nothing more assuring for a believer than to know. Providence used to be a widely known and understood biblical doctrine. But within the contemporary church, it's not readily understood, much less embraced across the board within the American church. Providence is also comprehensive. Again, the writer says, there is nothing more assuring for a believer than to know that all of life, underscore this phrase, all of life, because this encompasses everything, your life, my life, every aspect of life on planet Earth, every aspect of creation throughout the entire universe. Providence is inclusive. It is inclusive of God's loving care and direction. Again, the writer says, there is nothing more assuring for a believer than to know that all of life is under the loving care and direction. When we think of providence, we must not think of a cold-hearted God that is not in tune with the feelings and the challenges and the uncertainties of His creation. But rather, as God rules, He does so in a very loving way and a very purposeful way on behalf of His purpose and on behalf of the good of His people. And then finally, providence is exercised by an all-powerful God. There is nothing more assuring for a believer than to know that all of life is under the loving care and direction of an all-powerful God. Now, this is a very simple statement. It's one sentence. And yet it contains so many different facets of vital truth about God's sovereignty and about His providential grace. So again, do you really understand this? And do you really embrace it? Now, when it comes to life, I think most of us will realize that life is full of surprises. It's also full of happiness. Life can be full of stress. It can also be full of excitement. Life can be full of tragedies as well as pleasures. And so sometimes it's challenging to make sense of all of this. We know that things don't always happen the way that we plan. We also know that the reality is that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. And sometimes we struggle with this, trying to make sense of it all, because sometimes to us it seems unfair. Sometimes it seems like God is not in control, that there are things that are happening beyond His scope of interest or beyond His scope of power of doing something about it. Yet the Bible is emphatic that God is in control. And not only is God in control, but He is moving or bringing everything to pass that He has determined. We may not have all of the information. We may not understand all of the details. But again, the Bible is emphatic that God is in control. God is carrying out His eternal purposes or His decrees through creation as well as providence. As we noted earlier, providence grows out of God's sovereignty, the fact that He rules over all of His creation. There is nothing in all of the created order that falls outside of the scope of God's sovereignty. There is nothing that falls beyond His control. Again, God is not only the divine creator, but He also rules over the creation that He has made. Now, historically, there was a form of philosophy or theology called deism, which presented God in terms of creator, but then following creation, He sits back and watches the creation that He has made operate under its own natural laws. They liken this unto a watchmaker who makes a watch and then winds it up and allows it to operate upon the mechanical structure that He has made. When God created the universe, He created natural laws, He winds it up, and He watches these things unfold. And part of the point here is that God really doesn't know what's going to happen. He sits back, much like a spectator or observer, to see what's going to happen next. Now, I don't know about you, but from what I read in Scripture, that doesn't even come close to describe God's relationship to His created order. In fact, this whole idea of deism is actually heresy. Now, providence focuses on God exercising His sovereign power and authority to preserve and to govern His creation, to achieve His eternal purpose. Providence is simply God exercising His power to bring about what He has planned. Now, according to the Catechism, God's providence is centered upon two specific things: God preserving and God governing. Now, this preserving and governing is first of all presented in terms of being completely holy, wise, and powerful. In other words, as God preserves or governs His creation, He does it in a way that is completely holy, in a way that reveals unfathomable wisdom. And He does it in a way that demonstrates that He is all-powerful. Now, this preserving and governing also extends to every creature as well as to every action. This gives to us the scope of God's preserving and governing power. Now, at this point, we ask, does or can anything fall outside of God's providence? Or perhaps another way to ask is, can anything fall outside of God's jurisdiction? Now, a lot of us have an understanding of what is meant by jurisdiction, a legal boundary that someone cannot cross to exercise their authority or power. Sometimes when a crime is committed, there may be two or three different agencies, perhaps from the local level to the federal level, and sometimes they may engage in conversation about who has jurisdiction over this particular crime. That is, who has the power to investigate and to arrest? Well, God is not limited by any imaginary line. God's providence or God's jurisdiction is absolute. It includes everything. Now, the problem that most people have with providence comes with the choices and decisions that we make in life. Sometimes people say, well, if God is in control over everything, even my actions, does that mean that my actions are not real? Am I just a puppet? Well, let me ask you, are your choices real? The decisions that you make, are they real? Are we blindly forced to choose the things that we choose? Are we forced against our will? And the answer is absolutely not. Not one of us sins against our will. Now, I'm not saying that there are times when we struggle with what we're going to do. We may wrestle with a particular issue, saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I need to do, because this is right, this is what God tells me to do. But there's a part of me that says, no, I want to do this particular thing. But in the final analysis, what I'm saying is that once we choose, when we choose, we have not been forced to that choice or decision. We choose it based upon the desire of our own will at that particular time. No one sins against their will. When we sin, it's because we have wanted to sin. So even our choices and actions are part of God's providence. If there was something that could happen outside of God's providence, one writer indicated that that would mean that there is a place, there is something that exists completely apart from God, from God's knowledge, and from God's power. But approaching this from a biblical perspective, we know that that cannot possibly be the case, because God possesses absolute knowledge. He knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. God possesses absolute power. God also is everywhere at once. He is present everywhere in his created order. There is nowhere that God does not exist. So when you take these three things into consideration, there is nothing that can happen outside of the providence of God. Now, according to our catechism, God works out his providence through preserving and governing. The idea of preserving means to sustain. For example, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it teaches us that God upholds or sustains all things by the power of his word. Upholds or sustains means to hold out. It's sort of like playing a note on the piano. If you were to simply play a note, it would sound for only a second. But on the piano, there is what we call a sustain pedal, which means that if you press that pedal and then push the note continues for 6 to 8 seconds. So what this teaches us is that God sustains his creation. He upholds it in such a way that it continues. The reality is that if God did not sustain anything, everything would instantly pass away into nothingness. And this is true even for Satan himself. Satan cannot exist were it not for God's sustaining power. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 it says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." One writer says that this is basic physics. God is the glue that holds all of the created order, everything in this entire universe, together. Without God, everything would come flying apart and again go into nothingness. Now, not only does God preserve his creation, he also governs his creation. And this governing of creation is not limited to creation itself when it comes to times and seasons, but to human governments as well. The Bible teaches us that God removes kings and he sets up kings. But this idea of providence also includes actions of humans. From our point of view, we make choices and decisions. We do things freely because that's what we want to do. But in a very mysterious way, we also do what God has ordained. We do not do these things against our will, but we do them according to our will. One of the great passages that addresses this is Acts chapter 2 in verse 23, where it says, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God," that is speaking of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was delivered by the plan and the purpose of God. It goes on to say, "You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." In other words, here is a clear presentation of both the sovereignty or the providence of God and the free actions of men. These men hated Jesus Christ. They despised him, and therefore they murdered him. They had him killed as an expression of their will, their determination. They didn't say, "God, please don't make us do this. We love Jesus. We don't want to kill him. Please don't make us do this horrible thing." That wasn't what happened at all. They despised Jesus. They hated him. And so they exercised their will to do that. But at the same time, again, in a mysterious way, they did exactly what God had ordained. That was part of God's purpose. That was part of God's plan. So in God's sovereignty, he is working through his providence to bring his plan, specifically here, his plan of salvation into reality. And a part of that plan was for Jesus Christ to be betrayed, to be rejected by his people, and by sinful hands to be put to death. And so on the one hand, it was a very horrific, barbaric act. But yet at the same time, God is able to use this kind of sinfulness to bring something wonderful, something tremendous out of it. And that is the salvation of sinners, the salvation of God's people. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg as it relates to this awesome subject of God and His providence. But again, in Isaiah, the point is that this perception of God needs to be understood, that God is not like anything else or anyone else. He is God. And whatever He has purposed, He will bring to pass. And it is that bringing to pass, working out His plan, that providence has to do with. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.